we will meditate over the passion of our Lord. And this should be a very important part in the exercises, because pretty much it's where we meet God face to face in the most miserable part of our life. We should try to recall and know in this moment our faults, our sins, our sinfulness, because Christ came to save us. So part of this meditation is in knowing how much we need a Savior. And that's not very pretty, because when we think about our sins, how much we have offended God, it's we who put Christ on the cross. It is we who left Christ. We are the author of His suffering and His passion and death. Yet Christ loved us to the end. God sent His Son to save us, to redeem us. To save us from what? From hell, eternal damnation. Part of St. Ignatius' exercises is precisely that meditation, to meditate on our place in hell. We can kind of combine the two today. It's always good to do this meditation in the evening, because it just seems to fit well with the darkness, you know, with the darkness of being separated from God. We can think about what we deserve, what our sins, what we have merited by our sins, and at the same time, we can look at Jesus there on the cross, what He did to save us, and how that should inspire in us a great love for God. A great love for God. St. Teresa of Avila, a great saint, she was shown her place in hell. She never committed a mortal sin. Now you can think about your own life and say, Mamma mia, she never committed a mortal sin, and she was shown her place in hell, should she be unfaithful to grace, dear Lord, what's waiting for me? What could have been waiting for me? And that, knowing, see, this is where the passion, you know, combined with our just punishment in hell, this is what makes us love God and see the cross for what it really is. Because we see what we deserve, and then we see what Christ has done for us to save us from that. And that should inspire in us a great gratitude towards the Lord. And not only just to love Him for what He done for me, but now that I should also give me the courage to accept my crosses and be willing to suffer whatever God sends me, because whatever He sends me is way, 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 way too little for what I truly deserve. I'm going to start reading here a little bit of the Passion, and then I'll comment a little bit on it. But I just want you to think about this right now. Just listen. See what phrases touch your hearts. All right? The agony in the garden. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then He said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." When He returned to His disciples, He found them asleep. He said to Peter, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Withdrawing a second time, He prayed again, "My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, Your will be done." Then He returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then He returned to His disciples and He said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying, "The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him." Immediately he went over to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus answered him, "Friend, do what you have come for. Then, stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to the sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legion of angels? But then, how would the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must come to pass in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass, that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. I think what I'd like to start this meditation on is on friendship. Jesus began in this episode by choosing his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John. That's, I think, very important, especially in this moment, because when Jesus is about to enter into his agony, he chooses his closest and most intimate friends to be with him. And as he starts to suffer, he realizes that they are not really keeping him company, and they're asleep. They just don't know what's going on. So he turns to the Father. He's still trying to do the Father's will, even though it's costing him. He's suffering. He's being crushed at this particular moment, psychologically, knowing that he's going to be taking on the sins of the world. He's going to become sin. He's going to feel truly separated from the Father who he loves. You know, in St. Luke, I believe it says that he starts to sweat blood when he's in the agony in the garden praying. He's being totally separated from the Father. He's looking for human friendship, and there's no one. At the end, what it says here, or before the end, then after that, Judas comes to him and betrays him with a kiss. And all the people, he personally chose Judas. He wanted Judas to be holy. He wanted Judas to be a saint. And then his friend kisses him, betrays him. I think we can all relate a little bit with what is betrayal. I think it's very important to think about how these men treated Jesus, because we do the same thing. You know, Jesus chooses us. He has chosen us to be with him. Many times when we choose sin over him, we betray him. How many times we say, "Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you," and next thing you do, boom, I'm slapping him in the face, betraying him, choosing sin. And at the end of this episode here, it says, then all the disciples left him and fled. Loneliness. Christ's loneliness. "I look for comforters and found none." Jesus now is looking for true comforters. Are you going to be that soul that comforts him tonight? That's a very good question. I want to be that one to console your heart, Jesus. You know, when we speak about friendship with God, it's very interesting when you look through all of Scripture. God, from the beginning, he chose the people Israel, the Jews, to be his own people. In scripture we also see that he chose 72. Jesus had 72 disciples. From those 72 disciples, he chose 12 apostles. From those 12 apostles, he chose 3 to accompany him in the most transcendent moments of his life, here in the garden, in the transfiguration. And he also chose, out of the 3, he chose 1 to lay his head on his heart, St. John. If you remember in the Last Supper, St. John was chosen to be at Jesus' side, and he laid his head at Jesus' side. Christ is looking for intimate friends. Intimate friends. Friends who will share with him his sufferings on the cross. Are we friends of the cross? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. When the cross appears in my life, how do I handle it? Do I complain? Do I try to brush it off? Or do I embrace it? Now, Sister Faustina, she had a vision of 3 groups carrying their crosses. The first group were kind of like really just dragging their crosses behind them, like they didn't really want it, complaining, right? Then there was another vision with the group who were kind of like they had the crosses over their shoulders and they were kind of, you know, doing what they had to do with resignation. And then the third group had the crosses in their hands in front of them, lifted, with the cross lifted high in front of them, almost embracing their cross and going forward with the cross. It's just a little vision that she had. We could add to that too another group. The group that doesn't even want to see or have anything to do with the cross. The enemies of the cross. You know, the cross is something that puts our love to the test. If we say we love God and we really mean it, we will be ready to carry our crosses no matter what they will be. If we say we love God and then the cross comes into our life and then I run from it, it's all words. It's all words and there's no action. If I want to prove my love to God, I have to be ready to accept and to embrace with a good attitude the crosses that God chooses to give me. Going back to Judas, you know, Judas is he's a figure that really makes you enter into contemplation. Someone that has been chosen to be God's intimate friend. Jesus, the Son of Man, walks on earth, choose 12 disciples. Judas was part of that group. He saw God's miracles. He was with Christ. He heard his words. He saw everything. He was there. He was a witness to everything that Jesus did. And yet, when it came down to it, he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. For 30 pieces of silver. Do you have a price? Do you have a price? If Satan would be coming along and starting to little whisper into your ears to betray him, to commit this sin or that sin, what would be your price to say, Jesus, I'm ready to fall into mortal sin and say goodbye, Jesus. I prefer this over you. I mean, when we look at Jesus, we look, it's madness what he did. It's madness, absolute madness, to betray the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Are we any different than Judas? Are we any different than St. Peter or the other apostles? Are we afraid when the cross comes? I'm going to be honest with you. I am. Because I know the Lord can ask big things. And depending how big that cross he sends, there's a certain natural repugnance to it. It's not easy to embrace the cross. And this is why we must know before the cross comes, those consolations when the Lord gives, we must be ready to understand and willing to embrace how much he loves us. We must look at the cross. We must contemplate on Jesus crucified, because that shows us how much He loves us. And when we realize this, when it hits, when it sinks and it hits home, He goes, the Son of God loves me. He died for me. He wants me to be with Him. He's given Himself to me here in the Eucharist. He's doing everything He possibly can to sanctify me. He's reaching out to me in my miseriness, in my misery, in my weakness, in my fears. He's there. He's always there for me. Remember the apostles when they were on the Sea of Tiberias, and it was all it was very stormy, and they were afraid to sink. What happens? You know, and Jesus was there. He stilled the water. When those fears come, the fears of accepting the cross come, if we cry out to Him, Lord, help me. This is too much for me. I can't handle it anymore. Help me, Lord. The Lord stills our heart. He's always there to help us to carry our cross. I think that's very important to know that, that we're not carrying our cross alone. We're never carrying it alone. We're carrying it with Him. He's giving us all the graces necessary so that we can share in His suffering, His passion, so we can also be glorified with Him. You know, suffering is very hard, and nobody likes it, but it leads to something very glorious. When you look at the lives of the saints, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you all do this, but sometimes I say, man, I wish I could die like St. Isaac Jogues, man, get a hatchet in the head, have my heart cut out, have them eat my heart, you know. You, man, I wish I could die like that. Oh, boy, that would be a great death. I don't think I can do it. But when you see these things and how these things suffered, and these martyrdoms, you know, for the Lord, you know, there's something that makes you want to imitate that. You're like, man, I want to do, I'd love to be able to do that for the Lord. I'd love to be able to have that kind of courage, that kind of love, because that's what it is. To have that kind of love, to be able to suffer that much for Him. Even though we don't like it, there's something very attractive to that. And I think this is something we should ask the Lord to help us understand better. The glory of the cross. With the cross will come its glory. There will be the moment of suffering, but there will, that moment of suffering will pass, and it'll be very short, and the moment of glory is going to be for all eternity. For a little meditation, you can try to think about this. All right, you're all in heaven, okay? We all made it to heaven. All right, just like we have our little tables there in the dining room, you're going to be sitting, you know, your angel is going to escort you to a table, and it's going to be, you're going to be sitting with all the saints. And during this little conversation, you know, before the banquet comes, oh, they're all going to be talking. Oh, look at me. How did you die? What did you suffer for Jesus? Well, look at me. I had my head cut off. Well, me, what was me? Well, you know, they whipped me. They flogged me. You know, I was tortured. They shot bow and arrows in me. Me, well, what did they do? They saw me, my feet off. They threw me in boiling oil. So what did you do? What did you do? Well, I had a headache one time, you know, and I didn't complain. You know, what did you do? You know, when we kind of look at it that way, we see the saints and what they suffered, you know, and we're looking at ourselves, dear Lord, what have I done for Christ? We're going to be turning red. That leads me to the next meditation that St. Ignatius had. In his meditation, he says that we should contemplate three questions. What has Christ done for me? It's very important that you do this one today. What has Christ done for me? Number two, what have I done for Christ? And compare, look at the cross. When you see what Christ has done for you, look at the cross, see how much He suffered for you, all the good things that He's given for you, and then say, okay, what have I done for Christ? Let's take a look at my life. Let's go through my whole history here. Let's see what I've done for Christ. And then the third question, what am I going to do for Christ? That's the important one, because you see, when you look at Christ and you see Him on the cross and you know what He did for you, and then you're going to see how little you did for Him, you're going to have to make that. This is where you got to put your money on the table. It's not about just saying nice pretty words. Whatever you say and answer in this meditation, remember, he's watching. He knows what you're going to be writing on that in your notebook there, right? He knows. So don't write anything before you're sure you're going to do it, right? Ask him for the grace to do whatever he wants you to do. Lord, I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. I want to give my life to you like Our Lady did. I want to write a blank, give you a blank check. There it is. You fill it in. Whatever you want. Here I am. I have come to do your will, Lord. You know me. You know my weakness, Lord. You know my sins. You know my hesitation to carry the cross. You know everything about me, Lord. Change me, Lord. I don't want to continue in this way. I want to be heroic, Lord. I want to start to love you with a heroic love, with a sacrificial love, with a martyrial love, like your saints. So when you call me and I have to sit at that table with the rest of your friendly saints up there, I want to say, yeah, well, this is what happened to me. I want to start showing my scars. This is what I had to suffer, Lord. This is what I did for the Lord. And you know something? That's where the glory is going to be. That's going to be on the glory. Look what I did for the Lord. Look how much I suffered for the love of the Lord. It's not just about suffering. It's about suffering for the love of the Lord. And if we can do that, my dear friends, all our problems, all our little sufferings that we have right now, if we compare it to all the suffering that Jesus suffered, or all the suffering that the saints suffered, at least if we carry them with peace and confidence in our heart, Lord, okay, I didn't suffer much, but whatever God sent me, I accepted and I loved him in my suffering. I embraced my cross. That's what we have to try to do tonight, is try to truly come to know Christ on the cross so we can learn to embrace our crosses and have peace while we're embracing them. As the chaplain in the hospital, I am now faced with a lot of suffering. It's very different to when I was working in the university. Now I see people truly suffering. I'm there. I haven't seen anyone die, but I have been there after someone has died, and I have been there right before they have died. And those moments, right, they're not very pretty. They're not very pretty. And I'm going to share a story with you, and I think it's very important. At least it did me a world of good when I experienced it. I was doing my rounds. I was giving Holy Communion to people. And I gave one communion to this one lady. And as I brought Jesus in, she was absolutely like beaming. She couldn't wait to receive Jesus. I mean, she was like, her mind was more focused on Jesus than on me and the people that were at her side. You know, I gave her Jesus. Her eyes were just like fixed on the host. When she received the host, you know, she just started to pray. I mean, she just started. It's like nobody else was there. She received Jesus, and that's all she was thinking about was Jesus. And I was, how beautiful this looks. The very next room I went to, there was a woman there. I gave another communion to another woman, but that's not the one I want to talk to you about. There was another woman in her room. And as I gave the other woman Holy Communion, which was normal, there was another woman, and I just started to say hi to her. She was very, like, distraught, afraid. She was suffering. You can see that she was suffering very severely. And I tried to talk to her about Jesus. I tried to give her a little bit of peace and give her some comforting words. I tried to talk to her about the cross. And it was like I was talking in Chinese. It's like she didn't understand a word I was saying. She didn't know nothing about Jesus. She knew nothing about the Eucharist. She knew nothing about the cross, and she just knew nothing about that mystery of suffering. And all she was doing was just suffering and not knowing why she was suffering. And I have these two faces in front of me. This woman that was suffering tremendously, but she had her confidence in Christ. She knew Jesus was in the Eucharist, God was in her, and she accepted it with peace. And the other one was totally suffering it without faith, without the love of God. And this is something that I want you to think about too. How do I suffer? How really, what is my attitude towards suffering? Do I have that confidence that God is with me? Am I ready to truly like let go and accept what comes my way, whatever it may be? Or am I going to be fighting it? I think this is very important, because if we don't come to that point where we truly accept in faith that God loves me and this cross that He is sending me is good for me, and I embrace that cross and I accept it, it's going to crush us. I tell you, I really felt sorry for that other woman. I felt very, very sorry for her. I was like, nothing I can do for her. I tried to talk to her. I tried to be there. You know, I tried to console her, and it was like nothing. She was just like totally afraid, totally lost, totally alone in her suffering. And look, I'm sure she had, I mean, I don't know her history. I don't know the history of the other woman either. But you don't just get like that. This is a whole life. That woman that loved Jesus was a woman that, I don't know her, but I would say she was a woman of prayer, a woman that went to Mass, a woman that knew that Jesus was in the Eucharist. She loved the Eucharist. She must have had a prayer life, and her whole life was like a preparation for that moment. Where the other one, don't know her history, but maybe she never went to Mass, never knew anything about Jesus, lived in the world, you know, this is what I got, this is what I live, and that's it. I live for the moment. God doesn't enter into my life. And if we live without God, how are we going to arrive at that moment, at that hour, our hour? Very important, my dear friends. All right, I'm going to leave you alone now with those questions. I'm going to leave you alone with the Lord. Take your Bibles out, open to any part of the Passion that you want, read, think a little bit about what God has done for you. Think about the betrayal of Judas. Think about how the apostles abandoned Jesus. Think about how Jesus is alone and He's looking for someone to console Him tonight. Give Him your heart. Give Him your love. Console Him. There's many people, you know, if we could only imagine the sins that God sees every single day, how much God is offended every single day by the people in the world, all the things that are going on into the world, I don't think we'd be able to stand it. I don't think we'd be able to take it. God needs souls that are willing to console Him. Be those souls.